This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
I wish we were on 1 minute ago. Here's what's happened in the last 1 minute. The Mets-Braves game was on today. It started at 12:10. Kyle just told you it's already over. Pretty cool. Like, a game is over before we start. That game's been over for half an hour.
Yeah.
Like, DeGrom and Soroka, and it was fast, and it was 2-0, and it was a short game. Like the old days. You ever talk to somebody about, games used to be?
Sure.
So, we're just getting started. The music starts. And we're on SNY, and the game is over. Like, we could watch something else now. What's on?
Right, you said, what are we going to watch now?
What are we going to watch now?
I went for the remote.
And I mentioned golf. The U.S. Open starts tomorrow. I don't know what it'd be, just maybe people talking or practicing or something. But, you know, maybe golf.
We're there. We've got some people talking. It looks like it's raining.
It looks like it's raining. I said that we probably can't get any other baseball. And then I went to my phone. Wow, by the way. Oh.
What?
So I have MLB at bat. I think it's like $20 for the year. And that entitles me to all the radio broadcasts of games, but only video-wise, the one MLB TV game of the day.
Sure. Okay. I've had this app before or paid for this service before. So, you get a game, provided it's...
Not a team that's in the blackout.
Right.
Last night, the Pirates played in Arizona, and on extra innings, blacked out both broadcasts. Forget it.
Yeah.
Which I always think that means I'm supposed to be at this game if I care about it.
In Arizona.
Yep. In Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So today the MLB game of the day is Cubs-Brewers. And I'm like, again, this is just the conversation we just had.
Mm-hmm.
I can watch that. I bought a new phone today. Bulldog, look at this. Look at this picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, pretty good is an understatement. It's perfect.
I think we just saw a home run.
It's perfect.
Lorenzo Cain just hit a home run. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect picture.
I've got good TVs.
It's a phone.
I've had a phone
picture, but it's a perfect picture.
Here goes Betty Brewer.
Wow, the excitement.
Look at how clear Betty, is it Benny? Look at how clear the Brewer guy is going down the slide.
Bernie? Benny. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
So I bought a new phone today.
Yeah, good.
Mine has had
a pink line.
A pink line. My pink line days are over for now.
Yeah, yeah. I've often wondered, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with a pink line?
I had the Note 7. When was this? 2 years ago?
Yeah,
I had the Note 7. I loved that phone. Then Note 7s started exploding.
Right.
So I went into the store. Is my phone going to explode? What is the deal? They said, somebody told me, perhaps officially, perhaps not. What's happening is people are plugging in the Note 7 with cheap chargers from China, and they're having these problems. As long as you're not using some knockoff charger or something, you're not going to have this problem. Like, okay, well, I choose to keep the Note 7.
Okay.
Then I am on a plane, and on the plane they announce, like they always do, about your electronic devices and on, and they said, by the way, if you have the Galaxy Note 7, you have to keep it off. And it was like that flight to San Antonio, I think, or some flight.
Wow.
Like my whole plan was to use my phone, and I was not allowed to.
Do you know why they specify?
Because of the blowing up thing?
Okay, yeah.
Because they were not going to, like, okay, I'm not turning. Like, that's it. Now I'm going to go get a different phone.
All right.
I went back. When I got home, I went back in. I'll have the Edge 7.
All right.
I never liked it. It's just something was different about it. Like, you've heard me say this many times. Like, it goes to the edges for your pictures. Like, that's part of the allure.
Mm-hmm.
But texting, I was always texting. I was always spelling words wrong and having it. I dropped it. I had cracks in the screen. Mm-hmm. Then I got the pink line one day, at least a year ago.
Right. You've had the pink line for a long time.
I'm taking these beautiful sunset pictures in my home.
Pink line.
Anytime I show any picture on my phone, there's a pink line across the screen. And what do they say? They don't say, wow, that's beautiful. They say, what are you doing with a pink line on your phone?
What's wrong with your phone?
Right. What is your problem?
I want to compliment you for, like, knowing you the way I know you, that you didn't just go get a new phone the minute the pink line showed up. Like, you wrote out the pink line.
August was when the contract ran out, but I went and did this today, as it happens. But yes, thank you.
Right. I mean, you hung.
It was like
the
easy pass suspension for me.
Okay.
I like the story of the pink line.
I see. Right.
So I want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Yep. I didn't want to buy a new phone again.
Right.
Like, I didn't like any part of this story. I wanted the phone that I had to turn in, but I had to turn it in because they were blowing up.
Right.
I wanted to keep the phone that was blowing up.
Right. That you're not allowed to use on a plane.
This is incredible. I wish people listening could see what this looks like. So,
well, I could take a picture.
Well, then, with what?
With my phone, and then tweet it.
Joe, you've got to see this picture. This is unbelievable.
How ridiculous!
You've got to see this picture, Joe.
Here, hold it up.
All right, hang on.
Through the glass.
Hold on.
That's pretty sharp.
They just went to replay, or to commercials.
Oh,
so.
All right, that's going to have to wait then. Oh, well, no, I'm not going to make it.
Even if it's an ad.
No, I mean.
All right, I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Well,
you can have your picture in a minute.
Okay.
The new phone means two things so far. One is no pink line. The other is when I write my name, after I write Mike, instead of my phone knowing that I probably want Shope afterward, it thinks I want Huckabee.
Mm, yeah.
Like, Huckabee is the mic that you would most often write after the word Mike. Like, he's the number one mic right now.
Wow, that's a surprise.
Who should it be?
I don't.
Soroka.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Better. Thank you, Kyle, for saving me. I don't know.
Mike Soroka, the Braves pitcher. I don't know, like, who it should be, but I'm like, this is a new phone means that every time I write Mike, or at least for a while, it'll think I want to write Huckabee after that.
Right.
Which, like, who's texting about Huckabee?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, not
are
me.
People actually yeah, texting about
is
him?
Is there somewhere you can search that? Like, the most frequently? I have no idea.
I don't know who the Mike should be, but.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Michaels out there that it could be, but it's not the same.
No.
After Michael, they're not saying Huckabee. What is it saying after Michael? Jordan, probably.
Still? Yeah.
Or Cohen.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I'll let you know. Yeah. All right.
So, let me know when that comes new back phone. On. I'm ready to tweet a picture of your picture.
Wasn't yesterday cool?
What was yesterday?
Yesterday we had two callers who brought up, the way it goes is the caller calls in and the producer answers the phone and they talk, and the producer writes on a screen that we can see, each of us separately,
mm-hmm.
what the caller is calling in to talk about. And Joe, we have not worked with Joe that many times. Like, Ryan had his style. Greg did. Tom did through the years.
Right.
Ryan's style could often mean the very worst things in the world would be written in that box, which basically meant just stay away.
Right, right.
Well, whatever. Ryan liked to argue with people sometimes. Joe wrote in, you know, we had gone a day and a half without taking a phone call. And a guy called in, and his what it said on the screen was something about, should the Sabres trade the number one pick in the draft?
Right. Right.
And to me, that tends to mean stay away. Like, you would not take, I would tend to not take that
take
call.
Take at your own risk, yes.
Right. But it had been a day and a half. and I don't know.
Let's just see, your moods vary. See what's out there.
My moods vary. Like, okay. And the guy was great.
Yeah.
The guy basically said, just for fun.
Right.
Let's say another team offers you their number one pick and player X or players, mm-hmm. something.
Yeah. In this case, I think did he get specific or did I suggest? I can't remember how
he got specific. He said, is McDavid and the one the only trade you would make? Is there another team mm-hmm. where if they offered you their first round pick and a player from their roster, you would do it? And like, oh, that's interesting. And we talked about that for a little bit.
Right.
You mentioned Matthews at some point.
Right, right. And then I think Joe brought up Carolina.
And then another caller called in later.
I should let you finish the story.
And said another thing. And he said something about, like, well, what if Carolina offered you the second overall pick, Skinner and Hanifin, for Dahlin?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I'm sort of me on that one. I sort of went, you know, man, I'm not thinking about this at all. I don't know. Right. No. My answer is no. And you went, well, Carolina would have to be insane, but if they were insane, I would do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. Like, you would do that trade.
I do. I'm glad you're leading the show with this, because this doesn't happen all the time. In fact, by all the time, I mean, it rarely happens. But one of, if not the first thing I thought of when I woke up this morning was, I think I would need it to be Aho instead of Skinner. Like, I actually, that was the first.
You wanted to tweak it.
The first thought I had was, I don't think I'd want to do that for Skinner and Hanifin and what would amount to me, it would be you're doing it for, why am I forgetting the guy's name now? Shevchenko. Wait, is that it?
Shevchenko.
Thank you. The guy who is, I think, expected to be the second overall pick. Big, fast, scoring winger. And they're like, I don't think Skinner and Hanifin's enough. I think I need Aho. Aho is like he's the one guy Carolina. He might be. He's not Jack Eichel, but he might be like their version of Jack Eichel. If they're gonna make big changes to their culture, he's the guy they probably have a circle drawn around. Like, okay, we're not trading him.
Whatever we do does not include him.
He's young and fast and awesome and like, no, don't touch him. So you know. I think I would need him, not Skinner. I don't think I would do it for Skinner or Hanifin. It's tempting because you're putting what you're doing is, I mean, of course Hanifin is not Dahlin, but he's good, and I've got like my top two lines have got their top two guys in that like that trade. I still have to find third wingers for both of those lines, but. Like Eichel is playing with Aho, and I'm gonna play Mittelstadt with the kid I draft this year, and I'm good. Like that's nice. So like that would get pretty tempting.
I just thought I left here in a great mood yesterday because of those two guys. Like because they're both calls that like especially if there were other people on hold, I don't think I would ever have picked up. But we picked them up, and they were interesting.
They added something both, to the show. Yeah,
like they both basically. Basically, I walked away going, we could do that without taking the calls. We could think of those ourselves. Like, would you do this? And we do sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to declare that as far as from my standpoint, I'm not speaking for you, but from my standpoint, a trade idea gets said on the air. I feel from this day forward, it is my duty to give you an answer.
Okay. All right.
To give you a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe you make fun of it. Maybe I make fun of it.
Right.
But I will still, I pledge to always give you a yes or a no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the stumbling block, I think I even said this yesterday when talking about this Carolina scenario, is, you know, they'd be nuts. You know, everybody used a different word. There's almost no way, if you've got a pick that's of such great value, the amount that I would need in return is never going to be offered. So, like, that stops me from even wanting to invest in the conversation at all. It's like, this is totally unrealistic. But, like, that's not the game. The way the caller presented it was, I know it's not going to happen, but, like, just for fun. Like, it's an exercise. Like, what would it take to get you to do it? It's not to say I think it's realistic that Carolina would offer you all that stuff. And for me, they in particular, and I don't know, maybe there's other ideas out there that involve roster players and not the number two pick. But, like, I'm And this could be a mistake. Maybe you're more intrigued by Zadina as a prospect or one of the other defensemen even. So the fourth or the fifth or the sixth, or you like Brady Tkachuk. So you don't need number two. But to me, the reading I've done, what I've watched, the number two pick is like that. I don't want to go any farther than that. If I were going to entertain this idea, but so it's very specific for me. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to need that guy if I'm not going to get Dahlin, and then I'm going to need a bunch of other stuff that's going to make it enticing. Which leads you back to there's no way some team is going to give you three incredible pieces. I don't think.
They could if they want to get out from money. That is theoretically, that is the scenario where somebody could want to make you mm-hmm. that kind of an offer is we want to kind of hit reset on our cap mm-hmm. and get a great player at the same time. That's even better. Teams get stuck. Our team is kind of stuck, has been stuck.
Yeah.
Also, in yesterday's show, I don't want to try to recount the conversation because I'll probably mess it up. But at some point, it came up, and I tweeted it. If you drafted the whole league over again tonight, is it possible? I think you said it first. Is it possible that Dahlin would go second
mm-hmm.
if you included this year's prospects? Is it possible that Dahlin would go second behind McDavid? Almost all the responses I got to that were sarcastic, were critical. Like, are you nuts? One guy said, of course, like this kind of response is typical. One guy wrote, "Oh, this is just clickbait. Sad. There's nothing to click. Like, there's no article. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to get you to click something. And then there's nothing there. Somebody decided it was clickbait. There's no click.
There's no ad on there.
There's no click or bait. There's neither. Huh? One guy gave me a list." Can I give you the list?
I'd love to hear the list. Yeah.
All right. So sure. All I want to know is of course it would vary. Opinions would vary. But so where would he go? Right? So maybe two is nuts.
Maybe.
But what isn't nuts? So here's one responder's list of top 10 that does not include Dahlin. If you drafted the whole NHL over again.
Okay.
Now, before I read it, does it include contracts?
No, I don't think it matters.
No, all the contracts are erased.
I think it doesn't matter because whoever you're talking about here eventually is going to be paid $10 million or more. So, I don't care. If a guy is in his rookie deal or he already got, if Eichel's going into the first year of his big new deal, I don't care.
But for Dahlin, that could be seven or 8 years. Before you end up paying him that much. Maybe not. Maybe you won't do that, right. But it could be that.
It could. That's right. You do have control of him. But
how many is it?
I'm assuming for him it's three. You get 3 years, rookie deal.
And then there's another contract, though, where you still have his rights. Like we're talking about that with Reinhardt.
Well, sure, but right.
You wouldn't have to pay him.
You wouldn't
necessarily.
Have to, but you if it turns out the way you think it's going to turn out, then you do what you did with Eichel.
I know, but you don't have to do that necessarily.
Right.
He's not headed to – how many years is it before he would be a UFA is the question.
It's 7 years.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
He's got a long time to go.
All right, so we're imagining drafting the entire NHL from scratch. Here's one responder's top 10 list does not include Dahlin. One, McDavid. I'm fine.
Sure.
Two, Crosby. No.
No, that's not how this works.
He's 30.
Right. No, he might not even be in my top 20.
Right, so no to Crosby.
Might not even be in my top 20.
Okay.
I've not thought a lot about this, but I just my first reaction is he might not be in my top 20.
Three, McKinnon. Who goes first? Who probably goes first or more often goes first in an NHL redraft, Nathan McKinnon or Dahlin? I don't know.
You are running up against the notion that it is possible that everyone who is telling you how great Dahlin is going to be is wrong. and that he's going to get to North America, and in 2 years we're going to be going the smaller rink, something that we didn't foresee became a problem for him, and he just never reaches full bloom, whereas you've got guys who are established 90-point or better players in the league, and what's a safer bet? Nathan MacKinnon at age, what is he, 25?
22.
Oh, my God. Nathan MacKinnon at age 22. That's a safer bet than Dahlin. But
I mean, Dahlin is 18, Bulldog, but you don't know really which guy's career ends later. Like, at that, with that difference, you know,
that's
the life expectancy of those two guys would be pretty close.
Sure.
An injury or whatever would happen.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect necessarily Dahlin to play for 4 years long, 4 years deeper.
I think I could talk for maybe until the end of the show about which I prefer and what makes more sense. I have no problem with Nathan MacKinnon going before Rasmus Dahlin in this.
One, McDavid, fine. Two, Crosby. No.
No way.
Three, MacKinnon. Okay.
Yeah.
Four, Eichel. Who goes earlier, more often, in an NHL redraft, Eichel or Dahlin?
See,
I say Dahlin.
Yeah. You know why? Because think about what I just said about MacKinnon, and even about Dahlin, why you might take MacKinnon ahead of Dahlin. Like, what you don't know that Dahlin is going to turn into, so far has kind of been Eichel. he looks like he's going to be great, but it hasn't really happened yet. I mean, he has yet to play. He hasn't had a year where you go like, oh, yeah, he's an MVP candidate. And that might, you know, that might happen this year when he plays 82 games. But he's had injuries, and it just hasn't worked yet. So I don't know. I don't know that I take him ahead of Dahlin.
I'll give you one more, then we have to take a break. Okay. Five, Austin Matthews.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Maybe. Okay.
Same thing as MacKinnon. Like he sadly for us, he outranks Eichel. He's had the year or 2 years that you go, oh yeah. And Jack still hasn't put that year on the board yet.
The team success. Really is
the team success and his years. I mean, he doesn't have 80 points in a year.
He's point a game, but he had an injury.
Right.
Okay. We'll talk about this a little longer here. 803-0550. We've got Sal next hour. We've got a soccer guest today, and we've got Matt Reed is his name from Pro Football Talk or Pro Soccer Talk. Sorry, and we've got Brian later on the U.S. Open. We'll do our golf bet today. I have to go figure out how to take a screen grab of this video so you can see how good the picture is.
I'm still waiting to tweet a picture of it. So hold
I know,
it up
I know.
It's on.
I tried to do it. You've heard background noise in the middle there. I was trying to like. It's a new phone. I got to figure out how to do this stuff. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, 803-0550. This is WGR.
Not in that age. I'm 36 now, and I've seen a lot of young players coming up. But to play that good, like game after game in that age when he was 16, 17, and this year, I've never seen that before. So he's got extra talent for sure.
Joel Lundqvist, teammate of Rasmus Dahlin's. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. You can join us at 803-0550. We're just talking about sports and life, phones. I took a picture of a frog today, although I'm not sure it's a frog.
I don't think that's a frog.
It's either a frog, a toad, or a crab.
It's definitely a frog or a toad. Like I didn't look.
You're ruling out crab.
I didn't see it that closely, but I'm ruling out crab, and I think it's a toad. I think a frog would be more smooth skinned. That looks pretty rough. Toad. I think it's a toad.
All right. Big. It's a big nature summer for me.
Right.
When we were last talking, I have to go get that again. I forgot that I needed that page. When we were last talking yesterday, it was brought up in here. Is it possible that if you redrafted the entire NHL, including this year's prospects, that Dahlin would go second behind McDavid? And so lots of people responded to that, most of whom thought it was a ridiculous comment. One guy was mad that it was clickbait. not realizing there was actually nothing to click on. So, but that's Twitter.
My favorite use of clickbait ever right there.
I think mine too. And then here is somebody who wrote a top 10, like this is how it should be. And I can respect and appreciate that. I didn't do that. All I did was ask the question. So this guy did the work. 1, McDavid, fine. 2, Crosby, no, too old. 3, McKinnon, okay. 4, Eichel, maybe. 5, Matthews, okay. That's where we are. 6, Erik Karlsson. Get out of here. He's too old.
I appreciate you trying to get a defenseman in here, you know, but yeah, I don't think...
He's not old, but he's too old.
I think he's too old. I was thinking during the break here about Hedman, who I'm not positive. I thought of it just as we were starting here, so I didn't pull him up to tell you how old he is. He's like a draft or two after Karlsson. Like I don't think he's probably not that much younger. Like he's
Tavares, right?
Yeah, right. Same year. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the pick 20, after 27.
27, yeah.
Delin is 18.
Right. Like, I don't think I can do that.
Like, I'm a no on that.
Yeah, like it's just he's like Doughty. No. Get it. Too old.
No. Scheifele. Maybe?
Maybe.
Scheifele above Eichel or below Eichel?
Below.
Okay. Malkin.
No.
No.
Come on. No.
Jamie Benn.
No. No.
And Brent Burns.
Oh, my God.
That's the list. So, you know, okay.
Wow.
I'm not saying he would definitely go. You can't even know. There is no definitely.
Right. It's just sort of
what would happen.
Right.
Somebody picked Ryan Leaf number 2 in a draft.
Somebody just texted me their version of this list, and there's a couple of names on here, Scheifele among them, that I think are, not awful suggestions. Taylor Hall is the one that this guy that just sent me, actually sent it to both of us. Taylor Hall, what's that? Is he 25, 26? How old is he? 20? Did you say 26? Yeah. That's just maybe a little too old, but like he's awesome.
So what are we going to settle on? That Dahlin might go in the top 10?
I think he definitely goes in the top 10. I think he might go in the top 5.
Top 5 is possible. Top 2? Remote?
Probably.
Top 2 remote, top 5 possible, top 10 definite.
Yes. I think McDavid for sure. I think McKinnon, I'm listening all day long. I think you could argue Dahlin there, but fine. Matthews, and then I think I might be done. There is not, unless you want to like start thinking about who. Trying to think of a defenseman that fits this profile. And like Sergachev is the only guy I'm thinking of, and I'm not there on him yet.
Young and
big Ekblad. And really good. Ekblad, Ekblad
Truba.
To me isn't, no, right. These guys don't rate to me as the very best players in hockey. So I can't get there. But I think centers and defensemen are where you want to be. Like if you're thinking about doing this, I'm going to hope that I'm going to find scoring on my wings. I shouldn't have to draft it in the top 5 or maybe even the top 10 if I'm putting together this kind of a list.
Too bad we can't test it.
I know. It'd be great.
The only way you can really test it at all is to just ask the world.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would be great if someone with more access to these people like put these questions to general managers and they would actually respect them, whether anonymously or not. Like how high, just ask the question, how high does Rasmus Dahlin go in a draft of all current NHL players?
If you think about, so this point about how you haven't, like fans would do this, I think sooner than GMs, most GMs would in any sport. You haven't seen the guy, so you're going to be more reluctant. There are no games played, no NHL games played. So not even AHL, not even anything. Like it's international competition in the Swedish league. So you have this natural reluctance to believe in it that you wouldn't have for guys that you've actually watched play in the league.
Right.
When McDavid went into the NHL and you had this, we might have even had this conversation about him and Jack then.
I think we did.
Like, so, I mean, it's hard to remember everybody else 3 years ago. Like Crosby's 3 years younger, Ovechkin, mm-hmm. and so on. But would it have not? Would it have seemed ridiculous 3 years ago to say that Connor McDavid would go first of all players in the NHL in a draft? I don't think that would have seemed ridiculous. It might have even been the consensus if you had asked knowledgeable people about that. I think.
Yep. I think so. And that's why I don't think it's absurd. The fact that McDavid exists prevents you from asserting that Dahlin would do that here 3 years later. Because you're only 3 years into McDavid's career, and like you know, you're all good if you do that. I think he would be the first player you would pick. I don't think it's absurd to consider Dahlin for it. I really don't.
Okay.
And furthermore, I think if the people like were really if they were engaging in it like we are, the conversation like the hockey people with the acumen with the you know the methods of evaluating and whatever you know recognizing that it's not an exact science like somebody there, maybe a lot of them would really believe like they've watched him in person, they've met him at the combine, so they know what he is and what he's like, and I'll bet he would rate very highly to them even though he has not played in the league yet.
You know what's a good one? Do the same thing for the NFL. Who is the first, it's Dynasty Weekend, Joe. It's the League of Hopes and Dreams on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Who is the first player taken in an NFL redraft?
You know what's funny? When I was in Philadelphia last season for the Monday night game against the Redskins, they had the radio booth set up outside. They had a big panel of guys on their station. And that was the question. If you could start your NFL team with any player in the league right now, who would it be? And they all said Carson Wentz.
Of course. Then he got hurt and they won the Super Bowl anyway without him.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a name. You'd want it to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you, you know, can pick the right one. Like Rodgers is over 30.
Yeah.
So would you pick Rodgers? If somebody else could give you like a decade more of play?
Right.
But would you pick Watson?
You're talking about knee injuries that is in risky. College. You're talking about knee injury now as a pro. Like, yikes.
I don't think I could.
It's also not a large sample size. Like, he played, what, 5 games?
Yeah, I'm not sure on Watson. I think it's right to be not sure on him. I just, the knees part of it, just the sample size, yes. Yep. I mean, I think with this stuff, like, for fantasy players, really, where it's practical, don't lose sight of what you thought when there was more action, more play, just because something came along that was shorter and changed people's minds. You don't lose sight of the bigger piece there. Maybe he'll just stay great, but maybe he won't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with football, you have the scheme element. Like you're putting whatever player you pick into your own system that, to the best extent you can plan this, would suit that player. So you're not drafting him to a certain offense or anything like that. But I don't know. Who do you go with? Like, who's the best?
I don't know.
Who's best pick?
I'm really struggling.
I think I would go with Rodgers. He's young enough. Quarterbacks, Breeze is still around, Roethlisberger, Brady. Like, he could have 6-7 more years, I think, left of what he's doing right now. And he is, to me, with Brady, clearly, like, on that echelon, like the top guys.
I think he would do well to have 6 or 7 more years because he's probably 32 or 33. And I know Brady.
Actually, he's 34. So maybe 34? I'll back off. That a little bit.
I can't.
Brady confuses this, but that's right. A long time.
Yeah, I can't make him. There's no way. He's Crosby in this conversation.
You wouldn't pick like, Luck anymore.
No. Maybe Russell Wilson?
It's not bad.
I mean, he's been super productive.
The name I want to pick is, I can't do it, I think, but I want to pick Beckham. But I think I can't do it. If I have Beckham, let's say we have rounds. Let's say we have 32 turns, right? And mm-hmm. I pick Odell Beckham on my redraft in, not fantasy, in real football, of all the players in the league, I pick Odell Beckham first. How good is my quarterback in round 2? I mean, there might be 10 to 15 quarterbacks, maybe less, in the first round of a draft like that. I mean, certain Aaron Donald gets picked. Certain linemen would be picked.
Right.
a running back or a few running backs would be picked. Barkley would probably be picked. And can I get to?
I mean, you might
Matt
get
Ryan or somebody
right,
in round two.
You might get somebody who's near 30 or over 30. So you'd have somebody who's good for 5 years, maybe. And like that, you know, what are we trying to do? Like, you're trying to draft a long career. That's one of the reasons you skew young. I think that's tough. I think you almost have to go young quarterback, but, you know, not too young. Like, Carson Wentz is also coming off of an injury now, yep. You know? So, like, what do you want to do with that? Like, I think that's pretty tricky.
All right, so football or hockey, redrafting the whole league. Joe?
Yeah, this is just another area that the NBA just is so good, because every single year they poll their general managers. Who would you start your NBA franchise with? And then they post the results on their website every year. Like, that's out there. Karl Anthony Towns this year, 29% of the vote from all the NBA general managers.
If you redrafted the whole league
yep.
today or a year ago?
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep. You know, what would people we've listened to over the years say? Well, we're not at liberty to talk about the other teams.
Right.
Here's Kyle on WGR. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Thank you.
Awesome. I love the show. I'd like to preface by saying I'm not a Sabres fan. I'm a St. Louis Blues fan, so I got my own problems. But just want to get your guys' thoughts. A couple players on the top 10 list that you guys, I don't know if you guys didn't mention or whatnot, but a guy like Leon Draisaitl, would he fit in the top 10?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Winger, to me, is going to be rated lower. Like, I'm going to go defensemen and centers, I think, almost exclusively. And this is a player, to me, that at this point in his career, I'm trusting a lot of his success is due to who he's playing with.
That's good. You know, it's a good point. And if you had to, obviously, I don't think they'd be in the top 10, but if you had to think of a goaltender, like, is it Matt Murray, Vasilevsky, and then that's the end of the list, or is there someone else in there?
Murray's had injury problems. I'd be scared of him. Vasilevsky's young and interesting to me, but no way am I taking a goalie anywhere near the top end of this thing.
No, absolutely, but I think that would be probably one of the first.
But Vasilevsky, because of his age, I think would be someone I would consider pretty early.
Yeah, I think – thanks, Kyle. I think I agree with all of that. The goalies are too up and down, even most of the good ones you would think of, and also they're too alike. There's too many of them, mm-hmm. like talking about a quarterback in a fantasy football draft, right? How much more production are you getting – by drafting the best one ahead of the pack? If you look at seasons, you know, a lot of times it's not that much. So that's why a lot of guys playing fantasy football won't do it.
Right.
And goalies in hockey, what's the difference between 920 and 915? 925 and 915? Like, break that down into goals and go, well,
right.
if I can get the best center in the league or close to the best center in the league, I would easily do that before I get those however many goals yeah, that is difference.
Right, right. Or the eighth or ninth or tenth best center in the league. Like,
right.
I'm just going to keep going there until I feel like, you know, does somebody start taking goalies? Like, my sense would be that much like maybe waiting on quarterbacks in a fantasy draft, like GMs in the league would wait on goalies until someone goes, okay, I got to have, if it's Vasilevsky or whatever, I got to have the 25-year-old guy who looks like he's got a good solid 8 or 10 years ahead of him, then I'm going to take him, and then maybe everybody else starts taking him. But I don't think that happens early in any kind of a redraft of the NHL.
Sal Capaccio coming up in 15 minutes to talk about Bills practice. We'll throw some of this stuff at him, too. He's always game. That guy.
Sal.
Ask him anything.
Yep.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
We really don't pay attention to it at all. We understand every year we come in, you know, people are going to count us out. So we understand that that's just extra chips that we kind of stack on our shoulders, and we just come to work and just work that much harder. I mean, we understand that people don't really look for us to win the division or even go to the playoffs like we did last year with the first year head coach. But we understand that's just talk. We know that we got to play the game and give the fans what they want.
Bill. Not Deion Dawkins, who was on the phone.
Right.
Trey White.
Jerry Hughes.
Jerry Hughes. I should have. I'm sorry. Guy's been on the team a long time. Did lots of interviews. I should know his voice. I don't think I've ever spoken with him. I don't think at training camp.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's happened.
We've ever had Jerry Hughes when I was there.
I might have done it. I feel like I might have sat with him 1 year when you missed a day.
Maybe there was one. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Remember talking about TCU with somebody. He went to TCU. That came up with somebody.
I remember talking about TCU with Tank Carter.
Do you?
Yes.
The dirt bike guy.
Dirt bike guy. Yeah. Horrible neck injury and a dirt bike accident. He just got cut by somebody. Like, he was still in the league. Like, I didn't know that. He didn't even make it out of camp with that Bills team. But I saw his name, like, in a transaction at some point in the last week or two. At least I'm almost sure it was him.
Doesn't that put a smile on your face when you see Tank Carter's name?
He was a really engaging kid. I liked sitting with him, and he was from TCU, so maybe that's where that came up.
By the way, little known fact, that is short for Texas Christian University, TCU. It makes sense when you think about it.
Horned Frogs.
The Bills announced their training camp schedule today. It's pretty short again. And as far as we're concerned, it looks to us like we're going to be there the first 2 days and that's it. As far as like when it overlaps with our show, They have a 5:30 or so practice the first day of camp and then 2:15 the next day. It's a Thursday, Friday at the end of July.
Yep.
And they do a thing again where they practice at the stadium in the middle of camp. There are off days in there, and there's a game in there.
And there's a lot of mornings.
And there's a lot of mornings, right.
But I shouldn't say a lot of mornings. It's the majority of the practices are mornings. There's not a lot of really anything. Like it just seems more abbreviated than I can ever remember camp being. And I probably thought the same thing last year. So they're still going to St. John Fisher, but it seems to me like they're just not there for as long an amount of time as I remember training camp being other years.
I wonder if they didn't have sponsorships, they would bother at all.
Yeah, or this relationship and an agreement like in place with the college to continue to do it. Yeah, I mean, I wonder.
I mean, if it's up to the coach, does he bother at all? I wonder. Yeah, he probably says he does.
Sure, of course he does. But my guess there would be no, they wouldn't go at all. Okay. Like if he had his choice, they wouldn't go at all. And of course he's going to say like they love it there and it's very accommodating and there's value in going and being away and all the blah 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 blah. But I don't know. Their schedule to me looks like the schedule of a team that's doing as little as they can to fulfill an agreement that they've made. That's how I see their training camp schedule, and that's just one man's view of it. I could be completely off base on that. That's just my read of it.
Another question for Sal coming up. Thanks to a listener named Ben who tweeted us the top young defenseman scorers from last year. The names that jump out to me, if we're talking again about quickly here, redrafting the whole league and where does Dahlin slot in, are the two Columbus guys, Seth Jones and Werenski. Are they not candidates for first defenseman?
Yes.
On a list like that?
I think so.
If you redrafted the whole league? They might be. Werenski is 20 and Jones 23.
Yep, that's pretty
young
nice.
Young enough.
Yep.
And Carlson is what? Carlson is mid to late 20s now? Eric Carlson?
28, I think.
Okay. Probably too late.
Yep.
Sal Capaccio coming up. Also next hour, Matt Reed. ProSoccerTalk.com. That is a thing. The Onion had a headline today to the effect of, you can tell it's almost World Cup time because people in the office are talking about countries. So why should we be any different? I'm excited for World Cup. It starts tomorrow morning. I love for my personal schedule how the games are going to fall. There are going to be a lot of games in the morning, our time to watch, like before our show. So that'll be good for me. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We're at 803-0550. Sal, next on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.